Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. So many great moments.
Oh, here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
Triple M is proud to present.
Unbelievable!
MG's Rugby League Rundown.
Yeah, and like James Tarmow, we are free to play MG today. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, mate. How's yourself?
I'm going well. Not as well as James Tarmow, who has had the good bloke tax applied and managed to get off with a one-match ban for what was some of the most blatant dissent that we has ever been demonstrated since Gordon Tallis eyeballed Bill Harrigan back in State of Origin days.
Yeah, you're right about the good bloke tax. That certainly came into the equation, and I've got no problem with it. I haven't got any. He's played 304 games. He's at the end of his career. There's some mitigating circumstances. I will say that, you know, he's on the back of a flogging at the time.
He was actually talking to his teammates. He wasn't talking to Ben Cummins. He was actually describing teammates as effing incompetent.
Look, it's a kind of an unusual situation. You know, we've seen a couple of players get off in the last round of finals footy when we, you know, to go into a grand final when we thought, oh, there's no way he'll play, i.e. B. Slater. this is in new territory, I suppose, because I think there's definitely that his record was bought up for it. And I think that, you know, and let's not forget, he's gone through a bit of a wretched two or three weeks with the passing of his you know, mentor and great mate, Paul Green, and then his team's getting flogged, and I've got to throw that into the mix. If I'm a judiciary member, I'm throwing that into the mix and saying there was mitigating circumstances. And you know what? You're free to play your last game. But just, you know, also, I think it's the kids who I'm more worried about, that I don't want kids on the weekend seeing the captain of the Tigers calling the referee that, and then trying to mimic what he does. And that's my, if you do the crime, sometimes you've got to do the time. Well, he's going to do a week. This could be his last game in the NRL, probably will be. So, look, honestly, I don't have any problem with it.
Let me put my, and I agree with what you say. We've spoken to Jimmy Tarmow over the journey, and he's one of the nicer blokes getting around in the game. He's just a lovely bloke, always polite, always got time for you. Now, I'm not trying to okay his actions, but I think if you were going to apply a good bloke tax, he's someone that would be eligible for it. To put my PR hat on, if I was in charge of Jimmy Tarmow's personal brand, here's what I would tell him to do, all right? Don't just take the reduced ban and thank your lucky stars that you get something of a farewell match. Go out of your way to work with the NRL and to work with the youth programs to even if it's just a video with Ben Cummins or sit down and record something with Ben Cummins and hear about Ben Cummins' journey as a referee and then do something else potentially, going out and visiting a kid's team, some junior league, to reinforce how wrong you were and the actions you took. Don't be silent on it now, because you're right. I don't think we have to worry about first graders turning around and saying that sort of language to NRL referees this weekend, but it is the flow-on effect amongst parents as well at junior footy where I think Jimmy Tarmow can probably do a bit of work too.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's exactly what should happen. And if I know Tarmow and his camp, they're probably already putting things in place for that to happen. So, yeah, well said.
Well done, Jimmy. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about football. Let's talk about not the off-field stuff. Let's talk about the on-field stuff, because we are at the pointy end, MG. We are well and truly at the pointy end of the regular season. It looks as though there's going to be – it's all about eighth spot. It looks as though it's a question of whether Canberra can hold on and sneak their way into the eight at the expense of one of four teams or one of three teams in the Broncos, the Roosters, or the Eels.
Okay, so...
And the Rabbitohs, sorry, I should say.
Yeah, look, the Eels currently sit fifth on 30 points. Let's go from top to bottom. We'll just quickly go through these scenarios. Parramatta sit on 30 points. They play Brisbane away. I'm going to give them that. Then they play the Melbourne Storm at home. I'm going to give Storm that. They're going to finish on 32 points, and I think they'll finish with fifth position.
Which is enough to get in, because the Raiders are only on 26 points.
That's right. Roosters on 28 points. They play Storm away, which is this Friday night, which is a blockbuster.
Huge.
One of the games of the year, you would imagine. And South Sydney at home. I'm going to give them one of them as well. So I'm going to have them finishing on 30 points.
Which means they get in.
Sixth position I'm giving them. South Sydney on 28 points. They play the Cowboys at home this Saturday. I'm going to give them that game because the following week they play the Roosters away. Mm. Well, it's not really away. It's going to be at Allianz where they'll both play out of. But I'm giving the Roosters that. So I'm going to have South Sydney finishing on 30. Hence, they'll be finishing in seventh position. So the first round of the semis will be up against the team they played in the last round.
Mm.
That'll be the Roosters in a knockout semi. Imagine that. The Broncos. Now, this is where it gets curly. They play Parramatta this weekend at home. I think it's the Friday night game, is it?
Yeah, Thursday night.
Kicks off the round tomorrow night. Okay, yeah, there you go. Tomorrow night. I think Parramatta might get that one, but then Carrigan's back. Then Carrigan's back for their last game against the Dragons, which is away. And I think that's the game that's going to get them in the finals footy because so much hinges on Pat Carrigan. He is the pulse of that footy team. And at the moment, it's like when you take the best player out of any team, they falter somewhat. Canberra, I think they're going to win both their games, but unfortunately for them, they'll finish on 30, the same as the Broncos, Souths, and the Roosters. But their for and against is what's going to let them down. So, unless they beat Manly by 40 and then they beat the Tigers by 40, which can happen, they can sneak their way into that eighth position. But at the moment, I'm having them just missing out because I think. Who knows? Manly could do something this weekend against them down there. I don't know. But I just have them sneaking out of it.
I think the Raiders, I've been bullish on this for weeks. I still think the Raiders get in, and I agree. I think at the end of this round, you see the Broncos and the Raiders not only level on points, I think they're half a chance to be level on for and against, yeah. MG. If the Raiders are in a mood at home against the Seagulls, they can win that game by 20 points.
Yeah.
And if the Eels really turn up tomorrow night at Suncorp, they can easily knock off the Broncos by 20 points.
Oh,
and
easy.
All of a sudden, going into the final round, you have two teams locked on the same amount of points. Now, we think they both probably should win their final games of the season. But with the Broncos taking on the Broncos finished their season against St. George away.
Away, yep.
And then you've got, I'm so excited by the prospect of watching the Tigers hosting the Raiders Sunday afternoon at Leichhardt. And it becomes a case of the
must
for
win.
And against, but not just must win, but must win by how much?
That's right.
You know, we could see the Raiders up by 12 and still having to push it up until the final minute of the game.
Yeah, awesome.
I mean, this just sets up absolutely beautifully. So, tell you what, look, let's. I know you've already done this on Triple M Sydney Breakfast, but I want to get I want you to separate the contenders and the tiers for me because obviously we know roughly what the eight looks like, save for that final spot between the Broncos and the Raiders. Separate these into tiers for me if you can, like the genuine title contenders, the dark horses, maybe the teams that are just going to be making up numbers if they get to the finals. Break it down.
Okay. Well, the Panthers, I think, they're legitimate. They're minor premiers on 40 points. They're premiers from last year. They haven't had Luai or Cleary or Fisher-Harris for the last 2 weeks, but they had a great win. I think their game against South was a turning point for both their seasons, for both Penrith and South, because I gave them an outside chance of winning the comp from outside of the fourth position, but I can't see them winning three or four games in a row to do that. The Cowboys are kind of an unknown quantity because we know that they've had a fantastic year, but we don't know what they're like in pressure. And that pressure is semi-final footy. I still think they're a chance, but I think the Sharks are more of a chance. I think it's Penrith on their own. Then you've got the Sharks, the Storm, and I'm going to throw the Roosters in that bundle as well. I think the Roosters, who have won seven games in a row, or six games in a row, I think, they for mine, are the team that if I'm in the top four, I'm petrified of.
Mm.
I don't want to play them at all. The Roosters, unfortunately for them, to do what I think they might do is win the comp, they've got to win 12 games in a row, which is very, very hard this time of year. So probably not for the Roosters. I think legitimately, Penrith, they're on their own with the Sharks and Storm. Then they've got the Cowboys and the Roosters behind them. Then you've got the pack of the Eels, the Rabbitohs, and then you've got the Brisbane Broncos and Raiders. I don't think the Broncos can't win the comp. They can't win the competition from eighth position. South can't win it from seventh. Para can't win it from fifth.
You don't think Para are a chance?
Oh, they're too inconsistent, Liam. I don't know what it is with them. We seem to be waxing lyrical about their performances throughout this year. When one week we're saying, man, they can't win the comp, put a line through them. I've got members at my gym who remind me, probably out of any other club at Penrith, Parramatta is most representative for my members at the gym. Yeah. So when I put a line through them, they listen to me on radio. They go, well, where's that line now, Buffhead? So,
and then you say, get down and give me 20.
Well, give me 10 burpees as well. Look, yes, they can. Yeah, look, they can win it. But if I had to put the teams in categories, yep. Penrith are on their own.
Mm-hmm.
That's their comp to lose. Then you've got the Sharks and Melbourne Storm, I think, who are both legitimate chances.
And the Roosters.
And the...
I'm not gonna, below.
I'm going to have them a tier below with the Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
They're a tier below with the Cowboys. Then we've got South Sydney and Parramatta. And then on their own would be
the Broncos and the Raiders making up numbers.
Yep.
You talk about the Cowboys just quickly. The Cowboys are going to prove their bona fides over the last two rounds of the season when they have to take on the Bunnies at home and then the Panthers. They host the Panthers at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. So they get a chance to prove whether they're the real deal heading into finals against the big boys in the last two rounds of the season. And as far as the Roosters, that winning streak you mentioned, you only have to look as far as the Penrith Panthers in 2020. A winning streak is not necessarily the thing you want to take into finals, as the Panthers proved.
No, you know what? Saying that, if any team can do it, it's the Roosters, who had last year a well-documented injury list that would, you know, as long as our arm, and they still played finals footy. This year, they're all back. And this year, they've got Suwali's a year older. Walker's a year older. Matt Lodge, a late-season recruit, is an unbelievable asset to have this time of year. And this weekend, just coincidentally, two of their big boys come back as well, in Lindsay Collins and Tucky Aho. So they've got a four-pronged front row up rampage heading towards Melbourne. And I think going towards Melbourne, towards hoping to make a massive, massive statement.
Can you, Jared Warrior-Hargreaves is arguably the best prop in the comp right now, but can you, you know what I just remembered? Imagine if Christian Welch wasn't injured.
Yeah, I know.
Imagine if the storm, and all these people, especially for the Roosters, first half of the year, people had written the Roosters off. Yeah, they said, nah, they're done. It's over. You know, refresh the list, trade away the old blokes, and let's change things up. And here they are, as you say. Joseph Suwali's 19.
Luke Keary, Angus Crichton, Joey Manu, James Tedesco. They've got Victor Radley, who was strung five or six games together and looking great for it. So they're the danger team. They're definitely the danger team. And unlike Penrith in 2020, this team's got a lot more experience and knows how to deal with that streak, I think, than the Penrith team in 2020 would have when they confronted the might of Melbourne in the grand final.
That was a really young side, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
To all those people that speculated that the Roosters would look to move Luke Keary on to acquire Cam Munster, shame. Shame on you. Absolutely disgraceful. Luke Keary imagine what he could be, his CV would look like if he hadn't had the concussion concerns and the injuries that he's had.
He's phenomenal. He's a phenomenal player.
He's been the Dally M favourite to start the season for the last 2 years, I think.
He's
incredible.
Yeah.
Now, you've given a very nicely broken down, I guess, preview of the finals and the premiership contenders there based on actual ability and quality. Yep. I've got a different list for you.
Yep.
I have got... I've spoken with the bosses at NRL HQ.
Yep. And as you do. You've got a good relationship with them.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm very tight with Andy, Abdo, Andy as I call him.
And Pedro.
And Special P. Yep. And they have disclosed to me what the NRL's dream final setup looks like.
Okay.
This is ignoring the form. This is purely based on the business of rugby league. They have revealed to me how they would like the finals to play out to get the most out of it for the game.
Let it sing, baby.
All right, here we go. Week one finals. Your two non-elimination finals, the two non-elimination semis between the top two.
Top four.
You got the Panthers taking on the Cowboys.
Yep.
Right? And then you got the Sharks hosting the Storm. So the Sharks will finish second, the Storm finish third. Now, you're not going to like this, MG, because for the sake of the game, you need an upset in that first week of finals.
Okay.
And the upset comes when the Panthers take on the Cowboys. The Cowboys spring a surprise.
At Blue Bet.
At Blue Bet, the Cowboys spring a surprise and defeat the Panthers. Send the reigning premiers into week two of the finals questioning, can we go back-to-back?
Like last year.
The Storm,
South Sydney beat them.
That's exactly right. The Storm will flex, though. The Storm will flex and just remind the Sharks that, yep, you've had a great first season under Craig Fitzgibbon, but you've got a level to go to. Mm-hmm. The Storm flexes through and they get a week off, and so too do the Cowboys.
Yep.
In the elimination finals, though, you got the Eels hosting the Broncos. You got the biggest club in the comp. They scrape into finals at the expense of the Raiders, and they head down to Sydney to take on a Parramatta team that knows this is the season before they say goodbye to Reid Marnie. Potentially lose Papali'i. That's a very big game. Great TV audience. Two big fan bases going head to head in that one. But the Eels will win. Eels will win that one. And Roosters Rabbitohs. You get that traditional rivalry. So in that first week of finals, the NRL gets two big clubs in the Eels and Broncos going head to head. You get the traditional rivalry of the Roosters Rabbitohs. You get an upset when the Cowboys beat the Panthers, and you get the Storm flexing over the Sharks.
I don't think you're too wrong with your summation of where they'll finish. I think that's what's going to happen. I think the Cowboys might finish fourth, and I think the Sharkies might finish second and Storm third. So I don't think you're too far wrong with that. And obviously, as for Penrith getting knocked out of the first round, I don't think that'll happen at Penny Park. But
wait for the second week, MJ, because I'm going to roll you all the way through the grand final here. So the second week two of finals.
Wait, I'm just going to grab some popcorn. I'm loving this.
This was a lengthy discussion with Abdo and Volandis and I. Yeah. We talked this through. We worked through all the permutations. Week two of the finals, all right? So you got the Cowboys and the Storm kicking back.
One sec. Caramel choc top, please, mate. Yeah. And a large popcorn with extra butter. Thank you.
So week two of the finals, you got the Cowboys and the Storm kicking their feet up, relaxing.
Cowboys, wait, I'm just writing this down. Cowboys and Storm,
they're relaxing. The Broncos and, I should say.
Broncos, who wins out of South and Roosters?
I was about to tell you, the Bunnies. The Bunnies get it done.
Wow.
So you've got the Roosters and the Broncos who are planning their end of season, or they're on their end of season trips because they've been knocked out week one of the finals. Then you get into week two. You've got the Panthers-Eels, that Western Sydney derby that has produced some of the best games of rugby league the competition has seen over the last 2-3 years.
In an elimination final. Wow.
And then in the other elimination, you've got the Sharks taking on the Bunnies, right? So you've got a lot of Sydney action week two, but there's only two games, so you want the crowds, you want the Sydney action
maximum benefits. Right? Yep.
You're really not going to like this. Eels win.
Wow.
Send the Panthers out in straight sets. Send Ivan Cleary questioning his legacy at the club. Send you know, just puts an exclamation mark on the year for all those New South Wales players at the Panthers.
Yeah, and some more teasers, mate. Yeah, thanks. You just lost me then. You lost me at straight sets. Come on,
so
mate.
So the Panthers are gone.
You've been on that wacky again?
No, we've worked this out for the good of the game because there's the fans are bored with the Panthers. They're bored with them.
Well, we've been bored with Roosters and Melbourne for the last 10 years.
Well, that's why the Roosters lost in round one. They're already gone.
Okay.
And then the Rabbitohs roll on against the Sharks. Unfortunately, the Sharks get taught a finals lesson, and you need the Rabbitohs rolling through. You need that Latrell Mitchell X factor. There's a little bit of Jason Demetrio, the first-year coach. It adds spice to the conversation.
Yeah, it's like Rocky, yeah.
Of who's the best first-year coach, because it was Craig Fitzgibbon and Todd Payton, and all of a sudden Jason Demetrio comes storming into contention. Wow. So there's plenty of meat on the bone to chew through there. Then we get to the prelims. You got the Cowboys taking the Rabbitohs. It's Queensland versus New South Wales. Yeah. It's Townsville getting to host a prelim final with all the, you know, and with everything that they've endured this year and the tragic passing of Paul Green, they get to celebrate having a final at home.
Yeah, wow.
And this fairy tale story, they take on the Rabbitohs. In the other final, you travel down to Melbourne where they take on the Eels. And it's the Storm. Now, Sydney doesn't see football in prelim final week, but they've got the grand final, so it helps build excitement.
Oh, yeah.
This is where the genius of Volandis to award the grand final to Sydney, knowing that Queensland would get a prelim and Melbourne would get a prelim.
Unbelievable.
And then the final.
I'm waiting for this.
It's the Rabbitohs taking on the Eels.
Oh, fuck off.
It's the Rabbitohs.
Come on, man. Come on.
I'm just saying, this is the best case scenario for the game. The best case scenario for the game is a South Sydney Parramatta grand final sellout at Acor Stadium.
Yeah, if that's the case, if it's a... So who is it again? I forgot.
South Sydney taking on Parramatta in the grand final.
Okay, if that's the grand final, I'm coming up to see you on the Gold Coast and I'm going to walk backwards in the nude to Penrith, if that's the case.
If that's
the grand final, I will walk backwards from the Gold Coast in the nude.
This will be the grand final for the sake of game, for the good of the game. There's no Storm, there's no Roosters, there's no Panthers, there's none. All of those neutral fans who are so sick of seeing Bellamy and so sick of seeing Robinson, and now they're sick of the Clearys too. They want some fresh blood in the grand final, and they're going to get it when Jason Demetriou rolls out there, the fairy tale story in Latrell, all the knockers on him and his trip to the US. And he's fresh and he's firing and he's going to lead this team to a grand final going up against Brad Arthur, the much maligned Brad Arthur at Parramatta. Should we give him a contract? Should we sack him? We don't know what to do with him. Finally, he gets there with a team that is about to be broken up and may never get there again. 1986, MG, it's the longest premiership drought in the NRL.
Yep, I that was awesome. Very well put together. You've done your homework, but I think it's going to be a Penrith and Sharks grand final.
Nah, see, that'd be boring.
No, both 1967, mate. Come on.
I like that storyline. Yeah. See, this is what I want to look for as well. Look, the Rabbitohs Eels, it would be an incredible moment for the game, and you watch Peter Vlani's Andrew Abdo and I celebrate over a bottle of Grange if it comes off. But I like that idea of the Panthers Sharkies.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think they're going to finish first and second, and they won't see each other until the grand final. I think they're both. Something about the Sharks team that really has me buzzing. I think they're well coached, they're composed, they've got some strike out in the back line, they've got a forward pack with Andrew Fifita, who's just had his second wind. He's retiring at the end of this year, so there's a lot of things that they're going on. Finucane and Nico Hines.
Well, it'd be the Wade Graham Cup as well.
Exactly. There you go. Oh yeah,
and then what? He'd be short odds for the Dally for the Clive Churchill if he gets there. You have to bet on Wade Graham.
Yeah, he would be. He can't lose it, really.
No,
it's
really. Yeah.
Before the game starts, so it's
surely Fitzy doesn't do his hour of jiu-jitsu that he does apparently to get himself in the mindset before each game. If you've gone in the grand final, you let the jiu-jitsu go for a week, don't you?
Is that true? He does that?
Apparently that's... look, and I haven't had this confirmed, but apparently he does like an hour of jiu-jitsu before each game to get himself in the mindset of the players.
Wow. That's extraordinary. I love that.
It might be one of the great furfies of this rugby league season, but I've seen it reported several times.
You're just making bullshit.
I'm not making that up.
All I know is that this time of year... It brings unbelievable fairy tales, and it also brings some dreams ending for a lot of teams. It's two rounds to go in the competition. We're at the penultimate round this weekend, round 24. I don't think we'll see a round like last weekend for a long, long time when we saw six teams score 40 points or more, the most ever in a round of rugby league. We saw the total margin of victory, 258 points, which is the second largest of all time. I actually played in the last time it was more. That was 294 back in 1995. 466 points were scored in round 23. That's the seventh most of all time, but the most since round 21, 1998. I played in that round as well. So it was an unbelievable week. I think what we're seeing is capitulation from them teams coming last. And I must admit, last week was a hard watch on a lot of the games because at halftime they were, majority of the games were finished except for the Panthers and Rabbitohs and the Raiders and the Knights. Every other game looked like it was done and dusted. So, I've been asked a fair bit this week. How do you change it? You don't. It's just you don't change it. It's the lay of the land. The strong clubs get stronger, and you've got to try and become one of them stronger clubs, like Sharks are this year, like the Cowboys are this year. You know how you get there? Hard bloody work. Hard bloody work.
In January and February.
No. It depends when you finish, but in December.
Yes.
This starts before Christmas. You give yourself a Christmas present, then get back on the bike and or the pool or the run or the jog or the boxing and you do stuff that, by all accounts, what I'm hearing out of the Cowboys, what they did was an unbelievable off-season. Mm. Same like the Sharkies. Penrith, I know, trained their asses off because my young bloke's in their squad. So it's no coincidence these top teams are where they are. it's because they work bloody hard to do it. And, right. you know, Eels, they look fitter this year.
Mm.
They look like they're, you know, they're a bit more switched on when it comes to that crunch time. And we all know Melbourne Storm and the Roosters and South. So it's no coincidence that these teams like the Tigers and Titans and Knights and Warriors, that they don't look fit. They don't look fit. And if you're not fit, you second guess yourself in a rugby league field, because as soon as you get tired, you give up.
Yep.
And that's what the good teams do. And it's all in the head, brother. It's all in the head. If these, I've got no answer when people say, do we bring in a draft? No, we don't bring in a draft. No, we don't do this. No, we keep on expanding the game and make it 18 teams, because we've got enough good players around. We just haven't got enough good attitudes around and coaches to make sure that these guys can actually, you know, pull their finger out of their ass and train their asses off.
It's come from the master coach himself. I think it was either last year or the year before. Wayne Bennett said, this is not about the quality of players at clubs. It's about the clubs themselves. It's about the structures that are set up to develop these players. And if the structure's not right, of course the on-field product's not going to be right.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Wayne knows what he's talking about.
He does. He certainly does. Well, speaking of Wayne, look, he's got two left, and he's got two marquee players left before season 2023 starts. I don't think he's going to get either of them before 2023, but he might get one of them before 2024. And I'm surmising here that Munster has just come back from Melbourne with his manager, Brayton Astup, and apparently for the first time, Melbourne have put $1 million on the table. For me, that's enough to entice him to stay. As for Luttrell, well, Wayne Bennett's come out and said that I've got $1.3 million per season to give him if he wants it. He'll be the highest paid player in the game with along with Nathan Cleary. I get the feeling that if you go somewhere for money, you've got to be towards the end of your career and you've done a lot. So that would kind of make me feel like Munster would be more suited to the Dolphins. I don't think Luttrell should be heading or entertaining that thought yet when he's... You know, he's got so much to prove at the Rabbitohs after last year missing out in the grand final. He's just at least got to win a comp with them before he can think about, you know, leaving or exiting stage right. But I don't think, as you just said, either of them will go to the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins, let's put it this way, the Dolphins are, as soon as they start, they're in a 5-year build. So in 5 years' time, we expect them to make finals footy probably within the second or third year, but I don't think they'll even go close to winning a competition between, you know, 5 and 7 years. Saying that, Wayne Bennett's their coach, so anything can happen, but I don't think it will. So that's what, as a player, you've got to put that in your psyche. Okay, Cam Munster, I'm Cam Munster at the moment. I've been playing with Melbourne for the last 10 years. I'm so happy. I had a shit off season. I've transformed my body. I've transformed my mind, both on and off the field. Now I feel like I've got another 3 or 4 years of great footy with Harry Grant and Jerome Hughes and Pappenhausen, and I've got three blokes who are leaving the club who are going to the Dolphins. Do I want to go with them? I don't think so. Not now that I've come out the other end and I'm starting to shine. I want to be captain of this team. If I'm Luttrell, well, the money's there. The money's there if I want it. $1.3 million a year. But that means I'm a one-man band. I've got no Walker. I've got no Murray. I've got no Cook. It's basically me. And do I want that at this stage of my career? I don't think so. I think we're hearing a lot of stuff in the media at the moment to try and capitalize upon the fact that managers listen to the media and they know that if they're upping the ante here or there, that's going to happen and they're going to get more money where they're at. And that's the ultimate outcome that most players want. They want to stay where they are, but they want more money for it. Simple as that. And they go the long way in getting there.
Yeah.
But eventually they get there.
This is the big conversation that's going to continue over the next 3-4 months. You wonder whether the Storm managed to get Munster off the market before the November 1 window opens up.
I'd say they'd want to, mate. I'd say they'd want to, because we could see some ridiculous offers coming his way.
Well, the Broncos have also said they're going to go heavy for Cam Munster, in so many words.
Yeah. I think he was. I'm not his manager, but if I was Brayton Astor, I'd be pushing him down the road of the one club man, finishing as a. You're going to be an immortal, you know. Just keep going as you are. I'd be worried that a change of scenery might upset the apple cart. That what we're seeing at the moment is because he's in Melbourne. I'm thinking if he's going to be the big fish in Brisbane or the big fish in Sydney, there we wouldn't see the same Cam Munster because there's too many distractions.
Yeah.
So I'm saying to my client, I'm advising my client, look, we've got the money we wanted, we've got the mill, the endorsements, the third party payments are yours in Melbourne. They're yours. No one else. You've got them all. Be careful what you wish for about going to be the big fish in the, or little fish in the big pond, big fish in the little pond in Brisbane, and same as if anyone from Sydney entertains the thought of trying to sign you. Just be careful of what you wish for.
There will be the element, of course, for Latrell Mitchell and for Cam Munster as well. It's the personal relationship with Wayne Bennett. How much can he leverage that along with the cash to lure one of these blokes north? Dobbo was saying the other day that there is that agricultural love and connection that binds both Wayne Bennett and Latrell. Obviously, Latrell spends a lot of time at his property in Taree. Yep. Wayne has similar interests, and there's a genuine bond between those two blokes around that. And if anyone can leverage a personal connection, Wayne Bennett can. So this is interesting. MG, you think both of them stay put? But we will wait and see. Now, before we move on to the tips for the week ahead, I need to touch on the NRLW. Not just touch on it, but focus in particularly on it. How good is it, A, to have it back? Roosters look terrifying again, and they look like a good chance to defend their title.
Sammy Brabner. What about Sammy Brabner after two kids? Come back and just... Fantastic.
Friend of the show, but they are jam-packed with stars. Not only Sammy's return, but Isabel Kelly is just an elite power athlete.
I was sitting with my daughters on Saturday because we love it. We're fans of it. So we tuned in. I forget what time it was. We watched the New South Wales Cup at 11, and the girls come on about 1:30. And the first thing middle daughter said was, what about the physiques on these girls?
Yes.
Look how much weights and look how good they've become, how much bigger and solider and stronger they look. And I said, well, that's what happens when you start to look down the professional avenue. Well, I said, well, imagine them in 5 or 6 years or 10 years, whenever it comes around, which it's a matter of when, not if, they're professional and they can get to do this for their job. Like the netball does, and the basketballers do. Imagine when you can play
like Matildas do. 100%. Matildas are a perfect example. These are professional, full-time professional soccer players, football players, and you can see the quality. And the product of the NRLW will only improve, MG, as you say, when those players are able to basically get in the gym from the moment they join a club.
Skill work on the field through the day instead of,
having to go and work another job.
Yep, yep.
Now, this, and you're right, it's fantastic to look, but I'm excited about the Roosters. I also look at what the Knights have done for their first ever NRLW win. But MG, I just want to propose something to you, because if you're building the perfect footballer, you probably give them Freddie's left foot step.
You would, yes.
But I reckon you give them Jesse Southwell's right foot.
Oh, what about it?
Oh my goodness! This is the youngest ever player in the history of the NRLW. She's done a Joseph Suaalii and been given special exemption to play this year because she's only 17.
She's amazing.
That was otherworldly. That step that sent her through for a try, youngest ever to score in the competition, probably never be bested that record. It was just, and I know Andrew Johns has been doing a lot of work with this young woman. But you can see the way she reads the game.
Yeah, it's phenomenal the way that they're coming along in leaps and bounds. I love the fact that young girls now, and especially at my way in Penrith, the female game has just gone through the roof. Participation is at an all time high. There's a lot more young girls picking rugby league over netball or soccer these days. They want it. They're seeing these NRLW stars, and they're seeing how they're applying themselves to their trade, and they're getting better every year. But they're not just getting better every year; they're getting better by a lot from year to year. This competition, I think it's the fifth one of the NRLW. When you went to that first State of Origin game at North Sydney Oval, picture that in your mind.
Yeah.
Then picture the first round of the NRLW last weekend and how far they've come in 4 or 5 years. Imagine another 5 years. That's going to be phenomenal. This is going to be magic.
It feels like it went, because I remember North Sydney Oval, unbelievable atmosphere, but it felt like a community sport. It felt like a suburban sport. But a great suburban sport. When you watch the quality of these players now, and Sammy Bremner was playing in that game that I went into. I think she might have even been captain of New South Wales for that game. But that she's still rolling out there is at the level she is. But now she was a standout at that State of Origin level back at that game. But now she's still a standout. But the quality around her has just risen.
I'll tell you how far it's come. When someone like Maddie Studden can't get a team.
Can't get a game.
Can't get a game. That's kind of it in a nutshell. Mm. She's been our best half, one of our best halves for the last 5 years, but no team took upon her services.
And you look at, I mean, again, you look at another friend of the show, Kezzy Apps, who has been there, feels like from the beginning. She's really reaping the rewards for all the grass. She was a pioneer. She was a pioneer. It's a fantastic competition. Great to see you back.
I'm glad you touched on that because I think they need the, I know I've on the Brekkie Show in Sydney each week on a Monday, I do a top five. Who are the top five NRL players of the round? Well, now I've included the NRLW because I think they deserve to be acknowledged in a far bigger way than they are at the moment. But you know what? Their football will do their talking for them. Everyone's taking notice, and I'm so eager to watch the rest of the competition. I'm glad they're back.
And I would encourage and I know there are some people who still think, oh, it's women's football. Go and watch. Go and watch a game. Go and watch a game because I guarantee you, you'll walk away from it with a deserved newfound respect for this sport and where it's got to. In fact, let's tip that. Let's go through round two. It kicks off with the NRLW, the Suncorp Broncos. First time I think they've lost an NRLW season opener ever last week when they got dusted, and they take on the Roosters at home.
Roosters.
Yeah, I agree. Good game, this one. Eels-Dragons. Eels on CommBank Stadium.
Yeah, I think the Dragons win this
one. Yeah, I think our man Jamie Soward, he's doing a very nice job as the coach of the Dragons. They're looking to go one better, obviously losing the grand final last year. And then the Titans hosting the Knights with, we mentioned Jesse Southwell, but Millie Boyle, the reigning Dally M medalist, Tamika Upton running out of fullback. That is a star-studded team.
Well, they are. Them two have added so much to the Newcastle Knights, and I think they'll win the game. But I think if I was building a new club, I'd be after Millie Boyle as well. I think she's got so many great qualities just on and off the field that I think she's great. You know, she's a great ambassador for the game. Yep. She's fantastic.
Righto, we'll get into the NRL now. And then, as we say, tomorrow night, round kicks off. Huge game, this one. Broncos hosting the Eels at Suncorp.
Oh, this is hard. Capel, I believe, is back. But I believe he's still...
Selwyn Cobbo being rested, though.
He's being rested.
I believe yeah.
That's interesting.
I believe I was hearing that on the news today. Correct me. Stand by, but I believe Selwyn Cobbo... Yes, no, so it is. Yes, I'm just confirming that as we speak. Selwyn Cobbo is being rested. He's fatigued. So, and he's... Selwyn Cobbo has asked Kevy, can I sit out?
How old is this kid?
19.
Okay. So, we don't know what's going on in his private life, and we don't want to assume anything.
No.
But you'd think if you're 19, 2 weeks out from finals footy, you'd be jumping at the chance to get out in the field.
Played Origin as well this year. So, and
had a bad head knock as well, which kind of might have had a bit of scar tissue about it. Eels.
Yeah. I think the Selwyn Cobbo is really important to this Broncos side.
He is.
And they still don't get Paddy Carrigan back till next week. So, okay. And then... this is Friday night.
Which will make the Broncos a must-win in the last round against the Dragons.
We should do a live viewing of that. I tell you what, I'm almost tempted to fly down and you and I go and sit on the hill at Leichhardt for that Raiders-Tigers game. It will be worthwhile watching the scoreboard turn over at pace. So it's going to come down to for and against.
And we'll do it. We might set up a live Instagram. An Instagram live thing.
We'll touch base on Sunday from you in the Panther Cave and me on Currumbin Beach.
Yeah,
right, Panthers Warriors at home. Chance for the Penny Panthers to just roll out a bit of rust.
Yeah, this is a bit of a celebration for the Panthers, who will get their fourth JJ Giltinham Shield presented to them over their 55 years of existence. Jerome Luai, a great acquisition, back in. James Fisher-Harris back in. Unfortunately for the Warriors, I think they're in for a long night.
Yeah. When's Nathan's suspension up? Is he back next week or first week
first
of finals?
Final. Okay. First final.
Then we get to game of the round. This is one of the games of the round. I think the Bunnies taking on the Cowboys is probably the other one.
I think this is the gold medal, but
Storm Roosters Amy Park Friday night.
We mentioned the ins for the Roosters: Lindsay Collins, Tucker Yaha, Kafusi is back for Melbourne.
Yeah.
Wow, they're on such a good run, the Roosters. I think they have to have a little bit of a hiccup along the way after winning by 72 points to 6 last week. They're coming up against the Melbourne Storm side with Munster at fullback just roaming the land like a predator. Melbourne in a tight one.
Ooh, going to be close. Right, Saturday, 3 o'clock. This is the game that either allows the Broncos to sit back and relax, and the Roosters and the Rabbitohs as well, or it turns up the pressure. Raiders hosting Manly at GIO Stadium in Canberra.
I think the Raiders showed last week when they came from behind against the Knights away that they want to get in the finals. They've got intent. And I think, unfortunately for Manly, they haven't at the moment. They've got Jake Trbojevic out. They've got Ruben Garrick out with also, obviously Tommy Zip out for the season. So, yeah, I think they're in for a long day down in the nation's capital, Manly. I think Raiders by a fair bit.
Sharks, Bulldogs, 5:30, PointsBet Stadium, Sydney. Sharks $1.07.
Yeah, Sharkies. Yeah. Nothing but a Sharkies win here.
Nothing but a Sharkies win. Rabbitohs, Cowboys, this is the other game of the round. Saturday night, Acor Stadium, Sydney. Cowboys on the road. Cowboys have shown on the road that it's not like they're a different team when they leave Townsville.
But Tom Dearden out is
massive.
That's a big one. He's had a fantastic season when most didn't think he would. He's climbed the highest of highs. And I say that literally by getting up Castle Hill in the off-season, playing Origin. Now he's unfortunately had a knee to the nuts on the last game, and he's had a ruptured testicle, which is about a two-week layoff. And for that reason, this is South's mini grand final. South need to at least win this to make finals footy, because if they get beaten by the Cowboys, then they play the Roosters in the last game of the season. There's a chance that they could miss finals footy altogether.
They could get run down by the Raiders.
They could get run down by the Raiders. So this is kind of the mini grand final for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. And I think after last week's encounter with Penrith, they'll learn a couple of things from that. And I think they'll get the job done against the Cows.
Tom Gilbert back in for the Cowboys, though, who's been very strong.
That's a big inclusion. Yeah.
Then we move to Sunday, 2 p.m., Combank Stadium, West Tigers playing against the Dragons. There's a laundry list of changes for both sides in this one.
Yeah, Sunday should be experiment day, and we speak about it all the time on this podcast. This game between the Tigers and Dragons and the next one between the Titans and Knights should be a game without any video bunker. It should be a game with that we can rule on forward passes, and there's no captain's challenges. We should experiment with these last two games because they mean nothing except for a bit of pride. And I think for saying that, I think the Dragons will beat the Tigers because James Tarmow is out. I think they're going to save themselves for the last round and try and ambush the Raiders at Leichhardt Oval.
Tyrone Peach is just one of the mysteries of 2022.
You don't know what's going on with the Peach, because I would have him in my team.
Well, he's been given permission to negotiate elsewhere, but It's strange.
Yeah, it is.
Because when you look at the bloke who was a part of Freddie's, I think that first series that Freddie won with New South Wales, he was that beautiful Allen Key off the bench in the number 14 jumper.
He was.
And then he went to the Titans and it kind of started to slide downhill. Now he's landed at the West Tigers and it's just continued to go downhill.
Yeah, he should head back to the Panthers.
The West Tigers have an ability to do this to players too. Remember they did it to Chris McQueen? They did it to Josh Reynolds?
Yeah, well, is it the club or is it the player who goes there and they're out of another system and they go, okay, well, this is different to where I'm come from, so I'm not going to push myself as much as I did because I don't have to.
Surely it doesn't happen to Appy in 2023.
No.
Surely not. Well, I hope it doesn't happen to Appy or Papali'i from the Eels. Righto, last game of the round. Titans taking on the Knights, another experimental game. If MG had his way, we'd be able to change things up and try things out, but not to be.
This is a game for the Titans, I think, and this is going to be my bold prediction for the round. I think the Titans will win by 20 points or more.
20 points or more? Jeez, I actually didn't prepare a bold prediction for this one. Actually, I'll give you a bold prediction. Roosters beat the Storm at home and absolute scare through the entire competition.
Yeah, well, I think they're already doing that with six in a row. So,
they put on the scream mask and they really scare the competition. They jump out from behind the door.
I've enjoyed today's podcast. I've had a choc top, a caramel choc top, salty caramel choc top. I've had a large popcorn. I've had some Skittles, Maltesers.
I'm just getting a message through from Peter Vallandi saying that was a confidential conversation and I wasn't meant to share that with
you. Okay,
Hopefully I'm here next week.
Have a good one.
See ya.
Bye.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.